June 9, 2021, it's the Watch for Pedro Show.
Thank you. family pays more tax. We hide in the garage till someone gets home. Hey, you never have my kids over there. Hey, ugly mama, we're over here. Hey, you kids, come clean the house. No way, mom, I think I'll feed the dog. Watch your sister come while I go shopping. Hey, little sister, wanna race from hell. Go to your friend's house while I get the party started. Come on over, sis, drink some beer.
You're home.
Watt for Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. Tomorrow, Watt gets his second Moderna COVID-19 vaccine.
Oh.
Started the show off with spring is here. John Coltrane, it's been here. It's now summer. Sorry, John Coltrane. Then we had the Dead Roosters, Mama. And you might have heard something, people. Yeah, Brother Maddie's in the Love Grotto. Pleasure Point, a couple of miles south, because still quite quarantino mode, but not totally man alone, because those software engineers are stoning with their Skype invention. I got Brother Aaron Dillaway with me. Welcome aboard, Aaron.
Hey, man. Thanks a ton.
Yeah.
It's an honor.
Yeah, I had a talk that was, I was questioned yesterday by the Cutthroat Brothers, the size of a buttload versus a shit ton. And I think a buttload is bigger because you would have to fit that in.
Man.
I don't know the exact amount, but just, you know, perspective.
I was going to say a shit ton was more, but.
Probably fuck ton is the big ton.
Yeah.
Now, your journey through music, man, you tried out all the kinds and you still are. You're a pioneer in brain, mind, spirit. But let's go way back. What's the earliest musical recollection you can bring, Aaron?
Oh, man. Probably hearing my dad play organ around the house. He played, like, church songs on the weekends on this old con organ.
Organ inside the pad.
Yeah, yeah.
Across the street here, this old lady, she would do that. Because people would buy these for their living room and shit.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it was one of those big, you know, 500-pound things.
Now, was that the only instrument? Where was this?
This was in South Lyon, Michigan.
Okay. So that's the only instrument in the pad?
No, there was a guitar. There was an acoustic guitar that I think was my brother's. My brother and sister were like 9 and 10 years older than me.
Man, that seems to be a lot of cats who are innovative with music, I find out, have older siblings, and they got turned on to the records, and it started them on it was the gateway droga.
Yeah, yeah, there were records and 8-tracks around the house, you know, ever since I can remember.
What about that organ? Did you ever jump on, or were you allowed, or did you have to take lessons?
Never took lessons. I could play it whenever I wanted to, and I would do that, and
as a bassman, can I ask if there was foot pedals?
There was foot pedals, yeah.
Yeah. It gets really low in legato. Yeah, not just left hand people, both left and right feet. Jimmy Smith, if you want to know about an organ trio, and where's the bass player, it's his fucking feet, Jimmy Smith. So tell me the first record you bought with your own money, please.
Well, my own money, I'm not sure, but I know the first ones I picked out in the store by myself.
Well, with your own money, you know, you don't have a lot of money when you're a kid, so that's why I'm kind of curious about that.
Man.
Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. What about the first gig you went and saw?
First gig I saw was B-52's Cosmic Thing tour.
Okay. That's a good gig. Yeah. Me and D-Boone.
Yeah.
We both saw our first gig together. It was T-Rex.
Oh, man.
Long Beach Auditorium.
Let
me ask you. I was at, you know, the organ and stuff, and I asked if you jumped on, and you were allowed to. There was no problem.
Yeah.
Okay. But no formal, more autodidact, self-taught?
Yeah, self-taught. I bought my parents got me a guitar at some point. Actually, two guitars. My first guitar was a plastic Kiss guitar. And I,
fishing line
I
strings.
Had it for a day and immediately smashed it in the garage because that's what Paul Stanley did.
Of course.
And immediately started bawling too, you know. But yeah, Kiss was big.
Oh, us too, man. We saw them four times before they even had the first album. In fact, when that record came out, God damn, is it slow. They would open for anybody. Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Savoy Brown, I mean, Camel, Wishbone Ash. I saw Gene Simmons' haircut fire. Roadie put it out with the towel. Kim, what about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
No, I played one year. I played French horn, sixth grade band.
John Entwistle did French horn.
Yeah.
In fact, he's got a French horn solo in Pictures of Lily.
Yeah, totally.
Now, whenever he had his fucking hand stuck in the bell, right? You have to play it, and they got the funny mouthpiece, right?
Yeah, I dug it, but I couldn't get to reading. The reading it was hard, but I still made it to first chair just playing by ear.
Okay. And what about after school? Not like graduate, but afternoon, the basement band, garage band, bedroom band.
Well, yeah, when I moved, my parents moved into my grandparents' old house in Brighton, Michigan, and I lived down the street from my cousin.
I know where that is. That's like a burb.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's about 20 minutes outside Ann Arbor.
Okay. And so what, they had a place you could jam?
Usually the
drummer's pad, right, because it's setting up and tearing down.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a drum set. My parents were always really supportive of music.
Oh, you mean not after you broke the Kiss guitar and you got a replacement, you also went and got a drum set?
The drum set was a little later. That was like middle school I got the drum set.
Okay.
But I got a little harmony guitar before that, and that's when a couple years after I had that, my cousin and I started a band called the Dead Roosters.
Oh, and that's what we played.
With our friend Tommy.
And so you had recordings from them, right? This Mama song.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. You started recording right away. And you guys were writing your own stuff, not just copying off records like me and D Boone.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck the 70s.
We did. I know there's also, there's us, us doing a cover, not a cover, but we did a version of We're the Meat Men and You Suck.
Interpretation.
But we had never heard the Meat
Tesco
Men.
V.
Yeah. But we had never heard the Meat Men. We just saw it in a magazine. And so we played what we thought that would sound like.
I think he was Michigan, though, like Lanson or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he moved to D.C. And, like, Corey, the bass man from Necros, took it, made it into a label.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a trippy thing. Yeah, good bass man. He got really hurt on a bike, I remember. Maybe a motorcycle. But he's better now. Okay, so did Roosters... Not Roosters, Dead Roosters. Did they do gigs, or was it just practice band?
It was always just bedroom stuff.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a drum set. It was just like cardboard boxes. My cousin slamming on cardboard boxes. My friend Tommy singing, me playing guitar.
Okay.
But we had a really nice little boom box that had stereo mics, like above each speaker was a microphone, so we could do all these cool stereo effects by just moving our mouth of amp to one side.
Yeah,
to the
any
other.
Minute.
Yeah.
Well, man, you know, you learn by doing. That's your first fucking recordings. And original things, too. Too bad you didn't get a performance. But, do you do the academic? You quit French horn after a while, right?
Yeah, I only did it that one year.
Yeah, because of the reading stuff. And so you don't do any more music in school?
Not in school, no.
Okay. Mm-mm. So what happens with Dead Roosters? Do they ever end up doing a gig?
No, that just kind of fell apart. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Well, we changed our name to Just Add Water.
Well, look, yeah, that's a good name. Maybe better than Dead Roosters. You gave me something here. You gave me a cover of, you know, we played the first Hollywood gig with Butthole Surfers, and they played this. Paul used to sing it. And Gibby played sax.
Yeah.
I want to think pure pink, lady apple thoughts, with red shiny skins reflecting small squares of window light. I want to hear the death songs happy beetles sing as they march in the dirt. I want to forget gray matter of rotten flesh picked at by seagulls at the dump. I want a white lily to grow from my living palm.
Chidora, Twitter, the young one, Tisa, Fuzaro, Korava, Tipmaska, Noadmi. Bet Bata Elsasa Duhar Angela Yeva Sar Netan Sundi Tweta Tweta Ungur Bangursa Sidurmat Feta Kilora Tipat Sveta Lida Wasso Oi Ever Swala Livel In O Tarp Ego Tra E Bodagoran
Oh,
Rock for Pedro show. That was Smock, something live from 1992, Barbecue Pope, which is a BH Surfer song for butthole fearing people. Jaded Azurite's brand new, Hesperus after that. The Island, something I did a while ago with Steve up in Canada called Electrode. Trading files way back, as soon as I found out how. SLWCC Watt, this is Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa City in a collab we did last month, and a tune called Blade, and there's Buddy Bob Bucko Jr. after that, and such, Replace Your Trust. Ed Boggle with guitar intro, he was on yesterday. Bombas Prendon from D.C. area with Milk and the Electric Cow. These guys have done about, recorded 6,000-7,000 songs, done 5 gigs, 40 years.
I have those two lathes, or not lathes, flexi discs.
Oh, right. And that was some of the earliest shit. Well, they found a bunch of archive re-releases.
I wondered. Yeah, I noticed you play them every episode.
Yeah, I really like them. You know what I mean? Getting a band to be with your friends. Now, Raymond Pettibone was saying that's what a band is supposed to be on. I like that idea. And he draws and paints. Clang Quartet, Scotty Urban with Unknown Tongues. Blood Quartet, brand new out of Barcelona. That's got that guy from Mars who moved to Catalan a long time ago. And he's playing. Yeah, what's his name? Mark
Cunningham?
That's it. And he's still making bitchin' music with Catalans. Deep in the Woods, 66. This is Tommy O'Sullivan out of Dublin, Ireland, with Hallelujah Holy Remix with John Spud Wicklow Murphy. That's a fucking name. Elisa Cameron, who's out here recording with the Galaxy people in Joshua Tree. Sandy Ewan with Hallofreen Mollus, chemical name. And finally, another prod you flowed me, Galen with the Heroin Bench. Cool. Okay, so fill us in. Smock is the next chapter after the Dead Rooster chapter ends?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I was in a couple other middle school bands. That was mostly covers. I was playing drums for my friend Tim's band, and we were doing like Bowie songs. And but then Smock was my best bud Justin and I started with this guy Dave Mason, and that was the band
Dave
that
Mason.
Got first gigs with.
Was it Dave Mason in Traffic?
Yeah, not that Dave Mason.
Okay.
Yeah, I always wondered where this guy
went. Well, there's like 20 Steve Jones, right? If you look, there's a guy in Foreigner, a guy in the Sex Pistol. Actually, the Sex Pistol one is pretty cool people.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be on a show and talk to me like 3.5 hours. You can tell not cool. College, but still smart.
That's cool.
So you're helping your buddies out.
Yeah, in middle school. And then... me and Justin started Smock. He was in that other band. They were originally called All the Young Dudes.
You know what the song you wrote for them first?
What's that?
And they refused? Suffragette City.
Really?
I wouldn't show you.
They ever
you,
do a demo of it or anything?
That's why I got you on the fucking show. To light your ass. No, that's what I read somewhere. Like, he first pitched them Suffragette City. You know, Mott the Hoople was, like, put together by management or something.
Well, I never realized
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it was really... Mark Riley, the guy from The Follows, got a radio show, was telling me, manufactured. But how do you know when you're a kid, right? You're going to the gig. They're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens? All the young dudes, they were doing David Bowie songs, and then they turned into Smock and started doing Butthole Surfer songs?
Well, yeah, no, me and Justin started our own band called Smock, and it was mostly all originals. I just sent you that. That Butthole Surfers track is from our one and only show that we played.
And how'd that go? So is that your first gig? No, you were in gigs helping your buddies.
Yeah.
Of your own band, yeah. That's your
like,
first gig.
Those were like house party gigs. If they're like one or two, okay. Maybe a middle school battle the band.
So tell me about the Smock gig.
That was at this real kind of sleazy bar in Westland, Michigan. I don't think anyone in any of the bands or anyone that went there was old enough to be in the bar. We were all like 15, 16 years old. But it was great. We did that. one show, and then we recorded a three-song demo in Justin's uncle's studio. And then we went to go see the Laughing Hyenas play a house show in Ann Arbor. Yeah.
And Larissa. And also the rhythm section became Mule.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, both their rhythm sections were just incredible.
The one but, I knew was Kimball and Kevin.
Yeah, yeah.
That was pretty good. I think, yeah, they left town and show. I think Kevin went to Philadelphia or some shit. Yeah, Georgia used to trip on that. Jim Kimmel, then there was a trio, but it was only a two-piece. He was part of, but the way he did flams, his elbows would fly out, so Georgie would call him Little Birdie. So what happened at this Laughing Hyena gig? They were waiting at a birthday party, right?
Oh, yeah.
Even
yeah.
as a lifestyle with Larissa.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, they were the hometown
heroes
to all us kids. And so they were playing a house party. But this band opened up called Couch, who were a noise rock band, but like heavy on the noise. And that was kind of like a big, big moment for me. Cause it was what I had been searching for since I had first heard, you know, the first Butthole Surfers stuff. And I was kind of going through these like noise rock, you know, checking out all these different bands. But when I saw them and it was just straight chaos, it was,
you got bit.
Big deal. Yeah.
In your musical journey, it was a sea change.
Yeah. So just after that show, Justin and I decided we weren't going to play chords anymore.
fuck that.
and so we started this band called Galen. It was originally just the two of us, me on drum. I would record the drum parts, and then we would overdub both playing guitar. And
what was the first Galen gig like?
That was actually we got to meet these guys from the band Couch. They were these guys Pete Larson and Jim Magus. They were like about 10 years older than us, and I couldn't believe they had a record out. Like, after seeing their show about a month later, I went into School Kids and saw they have
School
a Kids. 45.
And a famous picture of D. Boone wearing their T-shirt.
I know, man. Right. I love that picture. Yeah.
And it's right out front outside the store, too, this trip.
That's so cool. Yeah, that was our spot.
So you saw the album and so was like, fuck, why don't we do an album, too?
Well, no. We ended up meeting the guys. And I remember we were at a 68, we went to go see 68 Comeback in Ann Arbor and ran into the guys from Couch, and they were like, and we told them we had a band, we had given them our tape and they really liked it. And, they were like, well, hey, you want to open for us? So then like a month later we opened for them and, a band called Math, which, you ever heard of Mr. Quintron?
Yeah, the Organ Man and Miss Pussycat.
Yeah, that was his old band. It was his old band when he played, like, junk drums. And so we played that gig, and then him and Jody from that band, they kind of took us under their wing. And
So that gig, you're saying that first gig was a success.
Oh, yeah, it was great. And that's where I met, like, all my buddies, like all the, you know, Nate, who I ended up playing in Wolf Eyes with, he was there. My buddy Twig Harper, who I started my label Hanson Records with, was at that show. It was a heavy gig.
Fundamental.
Yeah, yeah.
Connects, right? People ask me about the old days. I say, is it about people? And I said, I got a strong suspicion these days are still about people.
Yeah, and I mean, still to this day, I'm close friends with all
those
guys.
That's right. Learn from that, people. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 9, 2021, the Dish Watt Peters Show. Special guest, you, Aaron Dillaway. Hold tight for hour two. April 9, 2021, it's second hour of the Watt for Peters Show. We'll be right back.
times. We don't get much lightning. We aren't made of electricity, chain of command. A pilgrim's progress.
6 months as Navy. 6 months as Navy. 6 months as Navy.
Thinking too much again. I must go into the body. Get in touch with the meat. Sailing. Sailing. Sailing.
6 months. As baby. 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 6 months. As baby.
Dark days indeed. It's always summer in the Wild West.
Thank you. We come to the sing-along portion. We're going to do a special, it's a gospel song. It's called When Brendan Reopens the Mask. That's the title of this song. Put your mind in tune with the technological equipment. You know, you begin to think in a binary way with the computer mix out there. You get a whiff of this.
Yeah, I can stand it. Ooh, I feel like a wolf or a bat or something.
Pathetic mess. Pathetic mess. Hey, Claude? Yes, I just became the father of a baby girl. My first child. I hardly know what I'm coming along for. Can't tell you how excited I am. Are you a father? Oh, great. You had an abortion? That's wonderful. What is your name? Oh, my first child. I don't even know where I'm going. Anyway, I got a lot of people to thank me. Joel, for being a wonderful producer in my life, and I can't take it part of my own fun today. So let me go and get you a something after you just a bit. Thanks for everything I share. I still have about 134 to complain. Great. Get a pencil paper. I want to give you an insurance number. It's 11538. When you get that out there, drop me a note. Just let me know you got a good tip. Okay? I was scheduled to call you next week, but I'm not going to be here. You know, I'm going to take a couple of weeks off just to get started with the family and babies. And so, before I go, I got to have a partner to find my market choice. It's really good stuff. I got to get them out, so I'm going to send them out to your last insight. Take care of all the kids. And check back with you later, okay? I said, I said, I said, might not end.
Pedro, she'll start off the second hour with Galen again, doing 4th of July. We're a little early, people, but get ready. Ben Salter with Watt on bass, something celebrating 6 months in Tasmania, and he wanted me to wish him happy. What? So I wrote him a fucking song called 6 Month Tasmania. So I gave him the bass and the chorus, and I said, now you do the rest, please. Lucas Abella after that with J.S. for Jock Itch out of Sydney. Incredible stuff. Manuel Armida, my method acted, Yellowknife, Canada, pretty true north. Violent Ramp, this is from you, Aaron. Grind the Pigs. That sounds like what you, some people of my generation are a little before. Green Frog excerpts, the original HQ full length, Black Randy and the Metro Squad. So you people are really into Old Danger House. They were big in our scene, you know, the Hollywood. Pedro's 30 miles south, but incredible influence on us. Violent Ramp, finally. Skate to Pedro.
Yep.
Is that our town? Or is
that
dude named Peter? No, really? What's the fucking connect there, Aaron?
Well, that was kind of like me and John Olson were playing in Wolf Eyes at the time, and we were living together. And we started this skate rock band with our roommate Mike Troutman, and we had a song called Skate to Pedro. That was our Pedro. That was our Minutemen tribute.
And because you know none of us were from here, right? I came here when I was 9 from Virginia. And that's just the way even Latin guys say that. I think it goes back to Scandinavian sailors 100 years ago, not knowing how to. But we only and we call the beach Cabrillo, okay? But that's only two words we fuck up. We don't say fucking tortillas or jalapenos or fried jolts. I think it's a test because if you hear Pedro, you know the dude's never been here. So that's bitching. That's bitching that you would do that for us. Thank you so much. So where's Violent Ramp in the timeline of Aaron Delaway? What happened to Galen?
That's like 2001.
Well, it sounds like a lot of success with Galen.
Yeah. We put out a 45. We put out then we went on tour with the Scissor Girls. And then Justin decided to go to film school at NYU. And so we broke up. And by this time we had gotten an oboe player. Our friend Julie started playing oboe with us and we went through a couple different
drummers.
You know
what rock song really rocks the oboe? Is
what's
Roxy
that?
Music Out of the Blue.
Oh yeah.
And that there's live shit of when they had John Wetton for a tour and that oboe with his fucking bass, you know, that King Crimson red thing. Anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
So then Julie and I played in a few different bands together. Then I played in a band called Isis and Werewolves with Steve, who was the drummer from Galen. Then eventually...
Okay, he's on drums, so what are you doing now?
Well, then I kind of stopped playing so much guitar. I started making tape loops out of... 8-track cartridges. And that's kind of, this was probably around 96, and that kind of, since then, that's kind of been my main instrument.
Yeah, right, right. That's probably what a lot of folks know you for. And working it around. I mean, and then, but you still, Violent Ramp, I want to know where that comes in.
Oh, that's like 2001 we had that band. Was, it was at the same time as Wolf Eyes. We were kind of doing that on the side when Nate wasn't around. We'd be jamming with Michael. And,
so what is it? Like, you got so much. You
were skating a lot at that point, too.
And you got so much music in you, right? If it can't come out here, I got to get it out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you gave me some Wolf Eyes here, and I want to play it right now. Trippy Wave Snow and Spikes.
Thank you. individuals, residuals, residuals. Like all creative individuals, individuals, individuals. You gotta come and be in our music videos, the videos, the videos.
Pedro Show. Wolfeye started that chunk of music off with Spikes, spelled with a Y, people. Part 4. Victoria Shen after that with Arbiter. Giovanni Altopio Jean with Topi. Then brand new from Are You a Cop, Bing Bong. And finally, Wolf Eyes with Village Oblivia. I guess the demo.
Yeah.
Wolf Eyes did demos? Okay.
For that record, we did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about, especially with the 8-track stuff, you know, what's the composition thing like?
The thing I like about them is it's real inconsistent. You know, it's not like a drum machine or a sampler.
Right,
it's never
hit the space bar on a power book.
What's that?
Hitting the space bar in a power book.
Yeah, it's real, it's never precise. It's always, you know, the motor runs slow, or depending on the tension of the loop, you know, it's always kind of changing speeds, and it's always, you know, and when I'm playing a gig and it's, you know, it's running through the machine for a real long time, you know, it starts deteriorating. So I really like the way that it changes.
Can I ask you a question?
For
our improvisers, is repetition kind of an enemy?
Maybe for some, not for me. I mean, I consider myself a drummer, you know.
And a drummer basically is executing repetitions of little patterns, but there can be innovation, right?
Yeah.
Just as long as you hold the groove, I guess that's the big responsibility. Or maybe not. Mm-hmm. Maybe letting go, right? That tension in between.
All of it.
Yeah, right. You're right, all of it. Because when you get down to it, it's all vocabulary. You don't have to replace one word with another. You learn it. You just learn more words.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Different ways to put them together, and yeah.
Well, because, you know, here we're talking improvisation, composition, these very kind of academic words. But then you were saying words like noise.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the noise to me is kind of, one person's noise might be another person's fucking lullaby, right?
Yeah.
It's a really subjective kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, what about the whole idea of genre? Is it kind of fucked up?
The noise genre?
No, the idea of genre, period.
Genre? Yeah, it's fucking weird. I don't know.
I had the head bobble guy on. He said, yeah, we played these like pretty acoustic guitars and put noise to it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's all sounds, right? And then I guess you judge what's noise and what ain't.
Somebody does, maybe. I don't know.
Well, the gig goer, maybe, or the listener. Do you ever think about this shit? No, you're too busy doing it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Genres are kind of weird, you know. It's all music.
Yeah, that's what I would like to think.
I mean, some people, there's some noise, you know, that people would say is not music. But I think mine's probably too musical.
Okay.
For some people to call noise, but I don't.
Well, you said a noise band had a big effect on you in music. So obviously music and noise ain't incompatible. You know, same with me. I think it's sound, right? Music is basically sound, and then below the next subset is maybe rhythm. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, it was the chaos of that band,
right?
That really struck me.
That had the thing, and so maybe that's lack of rhythm, anti-rhythm.
Yeah.
Of course, whatever. Yeah. It's trippy, you know, but it's provoking, man. Or I wouldn't be talking about this shit. So that's why I like it. You know, it's not just same old, and cliche shit. We're at the end of the second hour, June 9, 2021, at Dish What Peter Show. Special guest Aaron Dillaway. Hold tight for hour three. June 9, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Peter Show. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show. Third hour, start off with Aaron Dillaway under his own name doing Shatter All Organized Activities. Eat the Rich. Parenthetical. Then Dor Al Balmar with Network Glass. I love this guy's stuff. I don't know how to pronounce his names, though, his titles. Red Stem, or I guess. R-E-A-D-S-T-M, Reed Stem? I don't know. Aaron Dillaway after that with Body Chaos, again under his own name, people. Peg Legacies with Croguet, C-R-O-G-U-E, maybe it's French word, pardon for slaughtering that language, didn't mean to. And then finally, Aaron Dillaway, Karaoke with Cal. Aaron Dillaway, his own name. What about under your own name?
Well, I was playing in Wolf Eyes, and we were touring around a ton. We did that record Burn Mind, and we were touring a ton. We went did a tour with Sonic Youth, and but then at that time my fiance at the time was going to Nepal to do her dissertation, so I took off for 6 months, and I told the guys. So I went over there with her to do recording and stuff. And I told the guys, I know you're getting offers now, because we kind of had a lot of visibility at the time. And so I said, if you get the offers to go overseas, fuck, go for it, So then my friend Mike took my place in Wolf Eyes, and I just started doing just more solo recordings. And then when I came back, it was kind of like, I think things were going good with them, and the last thing I wanted to do was hit the road again,
And so, like these Aaron Dillaway things, they're not really kind of live performance things, tour things. They're more like recording things.
Well, some of them are live recordings or sections of live sets. And then I kind of collage them together when I make an album. I'll release cassette tapes of stuff that are more kind of like sketchbooks almost. And then I'll take bits from those, bits from live shows, and kind of collage them all together into an album.
You recycle stuff.
Oh, yeah.
John totally. Coltrane did that, right? You can hear Alabama at the end, Love Supreme at the end, and why not? You wrote it in the first place. Get more than one fucking shake out of it. Yeah. But so when you say you take from live stuff, they're from Aaron Dillaway gigs?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So you do one-man gigs then?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay. Yeah. And is there a lot of equipment?
Yeah. It's, 8-track players are big.
Oh man, I
got 2 8-track players, 3 tape echoes that I use as loopers. Usually a big metal box that my foot's in, and then I sit in a chair. But usually the chair's mic'd and running through all the stuff too. And I rock around a lot.
But
I'm not just a guy sitting at a table.
Right, pushing the space bar. But, this is fundamental, I think. I've been having all these guests with electronic and experimental music. And the idea of the keyboard or whatever the fuck, even synthesizer versus tape. It seems like the Adelia Derbyshires, right? And it seems like you, too, with the 8-track. That's your medium.
Yeah. I mean, I mess around with synths too at times and use them. I'll record sounds from a synth onto my tapes and mess with them. And I do a lot of voice stuff when I play live, but not so much in the studio. I usually am like chomping on a microphone during my live sets. But it's just, it's a way different thing than sitting in your studio alone, So it's a different,
Yeah, of course. In front of people, you got to work the room, right? Vaudeville. Yeah. Now this Lucretia Dalt, is this the
Yeah, Lucretia Dalt.
Okay. Because you gave me this music, Steve McQueen's first movie, right? The Blob.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Watford Peters Show, last music for this edition. Aaron Dilloway, Lucretia Dalt with The Blob. But she's actually singing about The Thing. John Carpenter later. Yeah, right. Thor Harris and Rob Halverson with Bel Callahan after that. DDCB10. And then finally, Body Dilloway Head. This might be a Kim Gordon, Bill Nace thing.
Sure is.
Okay. And going down. Now, this ain't like Spencer Davis Group or shit.
That was Kim's title.
Okay, because you remember the 60s? Down, some chromatic thing, right? It's like a whipping post fucking thing. But from England. And I was getting my mind ready for it, and of course, there ain't no fucking bass. Although, you know, I had Bill on the show a couple weeks ago, and he told me he was a bass man when he started.
Yeah.
And we know Kim did lots of bass. And stuff. So yep. There's somewhere in your life, people, there might be some bass buried in your music time. So how'd that happen, this going down?
Let's see. I've just been buddies with them. You know, I met Kim when we started doing, I was in a band called Universal Indians around the same time as Wolf Eyes. And we opened for Sonic Youth. And that was the first time we met them. And then Wolf Eyes ended up touring with them. And, you know, Kim was always super cool and supportive. And
That's when I first saw Wolf Eyes was opening for Sonics.
Yeah. Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Okay. So, again, the people connect. So the opportunity came to collab, and it was like bing, bang, boom?
Yeah. Yeah, and we had jammed with her a couple other times with the me and the Wolf guys. With Universal Eyes, and we have all these kind of offshoot bands.
Yeah, of course. And I love the way, and you did it from, you know, Dead Roosters, you've been doing that shit, and that's great, man. No, feeling sorry sitting on your hands, blaming other people, just grabbing it by the horns and trying to get a tune out of it. I love it. It's inspiring, Aaron, so much. Right now, where can people find you on the internet?
AaronDilloway.bandcamp.com. Okay. Or HansonRecords.bandcamp.com.
Okay, people. AaronDilloway.
Correct.
The real way has two A's. Other people have breathed it like San Pedro went to Pedro. Not with Aaron. He's got two A's here. Okay.
Well, hey, before we go, I gotta say today's my son's birthday.
What's his name?
Real excited that because he's a big Minutemen fan.
What's his name?
Watch fan. Leo Dilloway. He's turning 14 today.
Happy B-Day, Leo!
Yeah.
14's a big, it's a big time for a big man. Yeah. So fucking take it to it, Leo. That's bitching.
Got a Pettibone book for his birthday.
Wow. No greater gift a pop could give his boy.
And actually, he was in his... In utero, he was on the side of the stage for Stooges at ATP.
Okay.
Both my kids heard the Stooges in utero. Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor.
Sure.
And
That was the gig for Ronnie.
Yeah, man. Yep.
Yeah, I got to play with Dennis Tech and Scotty. God, I miss those guys. So right now, what's your current music? Like, do you have an album in the works?
Well, I got... At the moment I'm working on a new record for Deus Records. I'm working on a collaboration with Joe Coley, who's a sound artist from California. And then me and Lucrecia Dalt's record comes out next month, and then the Body Dilloway Head comes out in September, I believe.
Well, all these records are coming out, man. When they come out, can you come back on the show? Especially, I'm curious about the Lucretia Dalt one that you're doing. We'll play that stuff and talk all about it. I mean, now we got your early stuff out of the way. We can all be all contempo and shit.
Let's do it, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, man, because I love what you're plowing hard, charging hard.
Trying.
Fucking, it's great. Yeah, I know, but that's all we can do is try, right? Like skateboarding, right? Huh?
Yep.
Who pulls ollies on the first ride? You got to get back up when you fall down.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks so much for being on the show, Trilly. People, it's been June 9, 2021 edition. Why, Pedro, show happy birthday to fucking Leo. Keep your powder dry.